Welcome to Digging Deeper, a podcast of Christ Church, South Philadelphia, where we seek to equip our members to live out their faith in the everyday stuff of life. I'm Matt.
And I'm Jeff.
We are pastors here at Christ Church, and we want to welcome you to episode number 7. It's hard to believe we're already at episode number 7.
Yeah. Well, we're cheating now by putting out multiple episodes per week, I think it's important to be getting out as much content as possible in these unprecedented times.
Yeah. You think we're pros at this yet? This is our 7th time doing this?
I think we're getting pretty close. I was thinking earlier, I think later today I'm going to get on Instagram Live and do a live video of our recording studio here. I think the church would be pretty impressed with what a massive production we have going
really?
On here.
You should have done this, live streamed it while we're doing this.
Oh, live stream it while we're doing it.
Yeah.
Man, I maybe next time. I'm not sure how I could do that. Yeah.
I mean, my attire is assuming that no one is going to see what I look like besides you. You know, I've been in a hat for days, haven't shaved, got a patchy beard going.
Well, so just be warned, this afternoon I'm definitely taking a live video, but we'll do a live podcast video. That'd be fun. Mm-hmm. We'll video it maybe next time. So, and by the way, when I'm saying we have two microphones hooked into a recorder. We spent $0 on getting this going.
State of the art
right there on a state of the art budget. But all right, so what do we got today, Matt?
We wanted to look at some resources. So we I believe you had mentioned that people can come pick up some books from the church. Maybe you mentioned that to me and not to the church. I don't know.
Yeah, so I was thinking, with the library being shut down, which understandably so, obviously it makes it really hard. We have everyone's lifestyles being changed, and I hope that we're reading, not just binge watching stuff. And I know the audiobooks can be helpful, but I don't know. I'm someone who likes to see something. I don't think I've ever listened to an audiobook all the way through. That's just my personal preference. So if you're like me and you are you're looking for things to read, but the library is shut down, we do have a church library, and our building is being cleaned. It's not even being used. So honestly, the church building is probably one of the safest places to be right now. So you can't just show up because our building's closed, but if you email or me or Matt or get in touch with us, we'd be happy to either drop a book off for you or maybe arrange a time for you to come. And so we'd love to be able to get these resources into your hands so we can all take advantage of this disruption of our life and be able to process it with good books.
Yeah, we'll even sanitize it for you if you want us to.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah, we'll give you a Clorox wipe, but that's worth its weight in gold right now.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so I suggest Matt, hey, let's pick out some books, let's recommend them. I said, hey Matt, why don't you just grab a couple? He came up with like an armful of about 22, and so I was like, Matt, you need to understand, like, so here's something you need to know, Matt. He comes across very down to earth. But the dude is like near genius when it comes to like intaking things. I mean, this guy reads more articles and more books than like I even know is possible. And so I was like, all right, Matt, for normal people, let's try to go with 4 books. So I think I got you down to 5, or is that
5
4
or 6?
There?
I got one hidden under the desk.
Got one hidden under the desk. All right. Yeah. So you'll give 5 or 6. I'll give 4, and that should give people plenty of things to choose from.
And for the record, it might have been closer to maybe 10 I had.
Well, I mean, I never use hyperbole.
Of course not. Yeah. Just to clear the air. So, yeah, let's get into it. How about I see there you got a copy of is that Thomas Watson's?
Yeah. I think when you're I think it's really important to read old books. C.S. Lewis, who's also on my list, and I'll talk about those books in a minute. He said that, for every one modern book, meaning a book written in the last 30 years, you should read 3 old books. Mm. And I don't know if we're quite going to be hitting that between you and I, but if you've never read anything by a Puritan, Thomas Watson's one of the best. It does, take a little more work to read them, but it is well worth the work. This is called The Godly Man's Picture. It just kind of goes through a look at what it means to basically live out the Christian life. I've read through this book probably a half dozen times and get something new out of it every single time. It is written specifically to men. So I think every guy should, I mean, it's one of the books I think every guy should read. But I think it's something that, women can, you know, benefit from as well. So The God of the Man's Picture by Thomas Watson was one of the first that I grabbed off the shelf there.
Great. And Thomas Watson, I think, would be one of the, more readable Puritans.
Absolutely. Yeah. 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 He's, I mean, it's hard, but it's not like, you know,
it's not John Owen.
Hard.
Yeah.
It's not John Owen. Yeah.
Yep. Great. Well, if it's my turn here, I grabbed Jerry Bridges' Respectable Sins, Confronting the Sins We Tolerate. This is a book that I read years ago, we actually read it as a small group, and just goes through some of the sins that that you might not really, you know, that we don't really consider sins. So, you know, he talks about anxiety and frustration and how that could be sin, or discontentment, unthankfulness, pride, selfishness. So he goes through a list, and you know, I think really, you know, it's not, you know, you could look at it as an exercise, like, you know, what are you just trying to beat yourself up here? But I think ultimately, as we're, and that's what the law does, is it exposes our sin to ourselves, shows us more our need for grace, and, you know, points us to the Lord. So I think this is a great book, just shows us the areas we can compromise, the little things that, it's not too bad that we're doing this, but really shows that, you know, no, it is sin, and that's why we need a Savior.
That's good.
You know, and I think it's good for, you know, as Christians, we can think, well, hey, we're not, you know, we're not murdering people. We're not,
right.
You know, we're not stealing perhaps. And we can almost think that we're all of a sudden we're these like good people, but no, we're sinners that need grace.
Well, and listen, if sin is little, then grace and the cross and what Christ has done will be little. And so, it's not about magnifying our sin. It's about magnifying Christ and seeing our need for him. So, yeah, I've read that book too. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. I've been going through, there's actually a teen version.
Oh, cool.
So me and one of my daughters have been reading through it. Actually, we were reading through it, and then my subscription, my free, trial to Kindle Unlimited ended. So we had to end our, now I have to pay for it.
That's why you need an actual hard copy.
That is true. But it would have cost me money if I got the hard copy.
Okay.
This was a free trial. So.
No, you can't beat it.
Yeah, but it was good. It was great while it lasted.
Cool. Next book that was on my list, and I think it was on your list too, it's double whammy for both of us, but The Holiness of God. This is probably, and I don't think it's hyperbole in all seriousness for me to say, probably one of the books that shaped me the most, you know, ages 15 and 25. I think the Lord really used this to awaken me to who he is. And so it's The Holiness of God. It kind of just walks through Isaiah 6. And I think, man, if there's one thing that we need during these times, we need to have a bigger view of God and a bigger view of who God is. And I think that this book will do that. I don't think I've ever made it through without just feeling the need to, you know, be on my knees, you know, before the Lord. Just out of holy reverence of who he is and worship. So this book is phenomenal. It is a classic. Mm-hmm. And again, if you've never read it, this is something that I would urge you to read. I don't think this is optional. I think this is something that every Christian needs to have a well thought out and understood theology of the holiness of God. There's nothing that will ground you more in life than a view of the transcendent holiness of our Lord. So, is that enough?
I think you said it well. I mean, it's a book that I think as I read Isaiah 6, that it comes back to me. It's a book that sticks with you. One recommendation on the blog post we sent out this morning of recommended resources, Ligonier Ministries, which is the ministry of the late Dr. R.C. Sproul, has now made all their video series free of charge for a period of time. And one of those is actually where he goes through and teaches on the holiness of God. So for those that aren't readers, and again, I would recommend reading that book. I do think it is a must read, but watch the videos. The videos I've watched as well, and they're fantastic, and they will stick with you.
And it's a profound read, but it's not a complicated read.
No.
So I do think it's something that, I mean, I first read it when I was like 15. So it's something that you can definitely get through. And it's not that big. It's like, you know, 150 pages or so. So we have two copies of it. Get them while they're hot.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of the genius of R.C. Sproul is that he's able to take complicated subjects and just make them very understandable. Yep. So it is, yeah, it's a classic, but it's a modern classic. It was written in the 80s. And speaking of R.C. Sproul, a book that really affected me, again, another book that just kind of stayed with me and just the things I learned from it, but Knowing Scripture by R.C. Sproul. So it's a small book, but, you know, as a young Christian trying to figure out how do I interpret certain genres of Scripture, you know, the book of Revelation, just different things, like how do I make sense of the Bible? This book is a very, it's probably about 100 pages long, maybe a little over 100 pages, very simple, everything. You know, when I read it, I probably was, close to 18 years old, somewhere around there. And stuck with me. So he goes through hermeneutics, the science of interpreting the Bible, what personal Bible study should look like, why we should study the Bible, practical rules for biblical interpretation. It's just a book that, again, this will give you tools to equip you to study God's word. So highly recommend it.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. Well, next on my list is John Piper. Your life is not complete until you've had a little bit of the pipe bomb, as we call it, as we affectionately call him. He wrote a book called, I mean, there's lots of books that he wrote that are great, but the one that I'm going to recommend is Battling Unbelief. And it's actually a subsection of a book that he wrote called Future Grace. So it's kind of the edited version. It's pretty small. So I think about 100 pages or so. But just talks about how do we battle sin with the superior pleasure of Christ. And so not just, I think a lot of times when we're thinking about sin, we're like, oh, don't do. And he's more like, no, how do we not just try not to do something? How do we take that sin, whatever it is, and how do we, see a greater pleasure in Christ and battle it with that? So, I mean, he talks about, anxiety. He talks about despondency, two topics that I think are very present with us right now. But then you'll talk about other things like lust and pride. And so I think it's another great book that's going to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord and grow in pursuing obedience to Christ for the sake of joy in Christ. And I think that's something that we need to all as Christians get better at. I think too often we think about sin in terms of what we don't want to do, as opposed to seeing Christ as someone that we want to pursue and follow. So I think that's what, it's for the joy of the obedience to Christ is what, Piper's really going to get at. And so if there's ever one time that I think we need joy and ever one time that I think we're tempted to sin in unique ways, I think it's now. So would recommend this book, Battling Unbelief, to Find Joy in Christ.
That's great. Well, I will take your John Piper and raise you a John Piper here. This is one of the ones I had hiding underneath the desk, so I felt like I had to pull this out. But John Piper, probably his most notable book is Desiring God. That's the name of his ministry. Mm-hmm. And I guess I will also give a plug for that book as well.
You are cheating.
Yeah, I am cheating. It's a good book. Again, another book that has really shaped me. But this book, When I Don't Desire God, How to Fight for Joy, has also been very impactful in my life, where there's just times where it's like, man, I don't desire God. What do I do then?
Right,
so
right.
So there's just parts of the book. I think of one illustration he gives where it's like, you just feel lifeless at times. Your spiritual life just feels dead. And you just kind of crawl to the fire of God's word to warm you by that fire, and just how you have to fight for everything just to expose yourself to God's word. And this book is just filled with great illustrations and just thoughts on how to, when you don't feel like it, how to find your joy in God. So highly recommend it.
That's good. Okay. Well, Matt still has about 17 books to get through.
Yeah,
I'll let you go two in a row.
Two in a row. Thank you. Well, I'll give a real quick plug. Paul Tripp, New Morning Mercies, a daily gospel devotional. Some of the books we've been recommending are, I wouldn't say difficult, but you've got to put some investment of mental energy into them. This is a one-page daily devotional. It has some, if you've been exposed to Paul Tripp's ministry. He has a gift of saying things a certain way, making you think of certain things a certain way. So we have one copy of this devotional. It's a daily devotional if you're looking for something simple but yet filled with the gospel. I would recommend this.
It's good. Well, I'm going to cheat a little bit, too, because the other book I grabbed was the complete C.S. Lewis Signature Classics.
Okay.
So it's got like five books in one. But, you know, if you haven't read C.S. Lewis, you're missing out on, I think, one of the great gifts that the Lord has given the church in the past 200 years. C.S. Lewis is a guy who, you know, was a classics professor at Oxford University. So the height and top of academia, had a conversion experience through actually J.R.R. Tolkien, one of my other favorite authors, author of Lord of the Rings. Was meeting with C.S. Lewis, and they were just doing a writing club. And through their talks, C.S. Lewis ended up becoming a Christian and produced some of the just classic works, I think, the last 100 years or so. So a couple of things. One, Mere Christianity, I think, is an excellent read. He does take a stance on some things that I wouldn't fully agree with, but I think just for the sake of being thought-provoking, I think is just excellent. And when he really gives just a reason for how we all actually do know God, the fact that the very thing that we want to say, that the universe is unjust, shows that we have a sense of what justice is, and the only way that we can explain that sense of what justice is by knowing a just God. So just one little bite-sized example of things he says that really gets you thinking. It's excellent. Also in here is the Screwtape Letters, which is just a great book. It's a short book. It's written from the perspective of a demon trying to destroy a man's life. But it's often humorous and lighthearted. But also, as you think about, man, actually, these things make sense as we think about ways that that we might get tripped up. And then two other things I think just would be great, or actually three, to go through right now. He talks in here is The Problem of Pain. And so this is his kind of answer to why does God allow bad things to happen. And so it's a philosophical approach to that, which is excellent. But then that's followed by Grief Observed, and that's really an autobiographical sketch of C.S. Lewis and his experience of going through watching his and experiencing his wife dying of cancer. And so he kind of, he deals with it philosophically and the problem of pain, but then he goes through it personally in the Grief Observed. And I think both perspectives are necessary and helpful. And then finally, The Abolition of Man. Abolition is where we don't use that often. It's the freedom. So just how God has made us as human beings. Again, I probably wouldn't agree with all his theology in that book, but it is still an excellent read, very thought-provoking. And I would highly recommend reading C.S. Lewis.
That's great. Now, does that book have his fiction works in it, or is this all his...
No, that's just his signature classics. So it does not have any of the Narnia books, which I would highly recommend. If you haven't read Chronicles of Narnia, you should absolutely be doing that. Very easy to read. Great to read to kids. Andrew right now is reading out loud to our family, The Magician's Nephew, which is the last book written by C.S. Lewis in that series. But, I read them all the time just for myself. So I would highly recommend Chronicles of Narnia. And he also wrote a sci-fi series.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good. If you like sci-fi, it's really good. If you don't like sci-fi, then you won't like it. But
Paralandra in that book, in that series, is
the best
excellent.
One.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the
excellent.
Best one. That's the creation account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fall.
And you see it's this new planet, and there's the tempter who's on there, and then there's the voice of reason, and it's phenomenal. I love. Perlandra.
Yeah, that was one. I have a copy here, so I would be happy to lend out my own copy if anyone wants to borrow that. But great work there.
Yeah, yeah. I have all the Chronicles of Narnia as well as all his science fiction works. Be happy to lend that out. And also, I mentioned J.R.R. Tolkien, and I have all the Lord of the Rings. I might be persuaded to lend those out if you sign in blood that you will return them in the condition in which they came. Those books are. Besides the Bible, one of the most precious books that I own.
Are these hardcover?
Hardcover. Yeah. Okay. They're pretty sweet. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, all right. What do you got here, buddy?
Yeah. How are we doing on time here?
I think we're doing okay. I think
could do this all day here.
We could go back and forth on books all day.
This J.I. Packer, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God. Another book that
excellent.
Is, yeah, just an excellent work. There's, I think even in times like this where, you know, what's going on with the coronavirus and just, we just start having questions, you know, where's God? What's going on? If God is sovereign, why is this, you know, taking place? And, you know, there's a lot of questions about God's sovereignty. It's a doctrine in the Bible that can be sometimes difficult to understand. And J.I. Packer takes it from the vantage point of evangelism. You know, okay, well, if God is sovereign and salvation is of the Lord, as the Bible says, then why share your faith? So he goes in, he just gives a clear biblical description of how man is 100% responsible, yet God is completely sovereign, and how those two truths can exist side by side with it. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of questions on that. Even if you don't want to necessarily read the book because of the evangelism aspect, I think just its treatment of God's sovereignty and its treatment of man's responsibility is just excellent and is very clarifying. Yeah.
Totally agree on that. However, you should read it for the evangelism part.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
But yes, yeah, yes. It's a good treatment just in general of God's sovereignty and human responsibility. But love how that's particularly tied to evangelism. Actually, just to say this, that's another book that shaped me early on. It's one of the reasons I wanted to become a pastor was the confidence of knowing that God is sovereign. And yet there's a call for us to share the gospel. But because God is sovereign, there's a confidence that we can have as we share the gospel. Yeah. And so I've often said this to people is that, like, man, if I didn't believe God was sovereign, then my job is an exercise in futility. And I don't even know why I would preach. I think I would be too discouraged to get out of bed in the morning. Mm-hmm. But knowing that the Lord is sovereign, that calls me to go and take the responsibility to share the gospel with every single man, woman, and child that I can. And so that book is kind of like, man, I remember that just setting me on fire in college. Yeah. And I would highly recommend it.
Mm, absolutely. Well, just so you think I'm not going soft on evangelism here, my friend, I grabbed another book, Randy Newman, Questioning Evangelism.
Yeah.
Engaging People's Hearts the Way Jesus Did. It's been a while since I read this book. So, you know, I feel like, you know, when was this book written? Back in early 2000. So I think the main thing I got from this was just, you know, get to know people, ask questions, really as you're, don't just preach at people, really seek to understand people, help people reveal their hearts, and then, you know, bring the gospel in then. So I think of Francis Schaeffer. I'll probably butcher the quote, but what do you say? If you have an hour to share the faith with someone, spend 50 minutes listening to them and asking them questions, and 10 minutes sharing the faith. Now, maybe that, you know, maybe it was if he said he had 10 minutes. I don't remember the exact quote, but
I think that's pretty close to it.
But yeah, just to the how to be winsome when we're sharing the faith. So you're you know, we were going through, as a family, we're going through Proverbs devotionally for our family devotions last night. And we were just talking about, one of the Proverbs kind of related to the thought of you catch more flies with honey than vinegar. Mm. And just being winsome. You know, we were talking about how to be winsome and how to be persuasive. And I think one of the ways you do that is by asking people questions and genuinely taking an interest in people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's good, man. I think it's one of those books that, honestly, you can read the first two chapters and get your money's worth in it. He gets into specific questions, you know, but the first two chapters are kind of just showing how Jesus used questions, what's known as like a rabbinical style of teaching. And, it's excellent. It's excellent. Cool. All right. Well, I think that is everything. Although you were kind of going on and on about this Dwell app or something that earlier, I know you put together like a list of resources for our church, which, again, check out that blog post the pastor Matt put up this morning. It was really helpful, just a list of resources both for families and individuals going through this time. It's a list that we'll continue to keep updated as more resources come aware. Let me just say this. We're aware that man, there's just so much information out there right now, and it can be confusing, just like, oh, what should I read? We really are trying in many ways to be a one-stop shop for you as a church. Like, hey, if you go to our website, you will walk away being well-equipped theologically and practically for what's going on right now. So We're trying to do that to the best of our ability. But what was Matt was like, have you ever seen Matt get fired up about something? It's because usually a pretty even-keeled guy, but he was jazzed. So what's the Dwell app again?
Yeah, Dwell app. So they typically it's a subscription-based app. So I'm not sure how much. I know in the past I've looked at it and just, you know, wanted to save a few bucks, so I didn't jump in and get it. But you're able to – so it reads the Bible to you, but you're able to set the voice of who's reading it to you. You're able to set the – you know, what version of the Bible, car alarms going on outside. I don't know if it's picking up here, but I'll continue to talk.
South Philly.
Yep. The version of the Bible. And then you're also able to set the background music with it, too. So they have, you know, you can listen to some piano playing in the background, a piano and a cello, nice. Some ambient music. So I was listening to the first couple chapters of Genesis with a guy named Felix, who's African. And with some ambient music in the background, and it was just like, yeah, it was an experience. So, I would highly recommend it. Felix has been great to listen to him just read the word. This morning in the shower, I was listening to Felix as he was going. There's different playlists too. So one was about our identity in Christ. So Felix was just reading scripture after scripture about our identity in Christ, and it's just great, man. Yeah. So the neat thing is that typically this does cost money, but as a way to serve God's people, the makers of the Dwell app have given it to our church for the next 60 days for free. So
that's awesome.
If you click on the link first, you know, go on, download it into your phone, click on the link that we sent out, and you can get a free 60 days of this app. And they have different Bible reading plans as well, so it's a great – you can just make that your – Bible listening plan. You can listen
That's
to
awesome.
The Bible with it.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, highly recommend it. Take advantage of that.
That's great, man. Yeah. That's great. Cool. Well, I really hope that at some point you get to meet Felix in person.
I do.
The
I will.
The amount of affection you
I
have
will
for this
give
man.
Him a great big hug. Thank you, Felix.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, that's it. That's all we got.
That's
right?
Cool. Anything, so this Sunday is a little different.
We'll get out information about, you know, the live stream and how to get on that. You know, I'll also be giving some updates about just, you know, action steps, what we're taking as a church. But then with that being said, we are going to get back into our regular Bible series in Luke. As we talked about that as a pastoral team, just felt that it was important for us while we continue throughout the week to stay updated on the COVID-19 stuff. Important for us just to get back to our regular preaching plan. One, because God's word is always good, and so I don't want to just speak specifically about COVID all the time. I think all of God's word is good and is going to help us get through this. And also just like, listen, I don't know, in some ways for me, I take this as a little step of defiance in that, you know, COVID can disrupt a lot of our life, but it won't disrupt our plan to go through God's word in a systematic way. And so I'm taking it as a little, you know, my rebellious streak is coming out. I'm like, you know what? COVID might be going on, but this Sunday we're preaching through Luke 14:25-35 and try stop me virus. So
nice mic drop there.
There you go.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Again, especially during this time, we'd love to hear from you. So please email Jeff or Matt at christchurchsouthphilly.org, and may the grace of our Lord be with you all.